are great, man. As soon as I got up here and I was like grabbing the pulpit like this, they knew we got to lower that thing, and I appreciate that. I mean, I know Pastor Tracy, he's only about an inch taller than me, so, but it shouldn't make that much of a difference, amen? But no, it's good to be in God's house tonight. And turn to the book of James, chapter number 1, and want to do a kind of a study, if you will, to preach about sin tonight. But I don't want to really preach about the specific sin or anything like that. I really want to preach about how and when we sin, kind of like when do you cross the line? How does sin happen? And I think that'll be a help to us tonight. When do we cross that line? And we as believers, we know that sin is always a constant battle. We know that the Bible says our inner man, we sin no more, because we know when we get saved, we have Jesus in us. And we know because of our inner man, we sin no more. But until we get our glorified bodies, this flesh gives us fits, don't it? And we have to deal with that. So, we think of this constant battle, but I want to look at, there are three major events that kind of take place, or three steps that take place that lead to sin in our lives, and I think it'll be a great help for us tonight. If you would, go ahead and stand in honor and reverence to the Word of God, and we'll read in James chapter number 1 and in verse number 12. James chapter 1, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, we thank you for today. Lord, it's what a blessing it was today. And Lord, you held up the weather for us there. It kind of looked like it was going to rain, but we were able to get through our hour there of soul winning and passing out gospel tracts and giving out the gospel. And I know, Lord, we know that your word will not return void. Lord, I pray you just be with the message today. Lord, help me in this hour. Lord, I can't do it on my own. I need your help. And Lord, hide me behind the cross as only you can. And Lord, I pray that this will be a help not only to myself, but those who are here tonight. Lord, help work your way and will. Lord, in the service tonight, and in Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. As we've seen in verse number 13, we find out that God cannot tempt us. The Bible says that God doesn't tempt any man with evil because God can't do that. We think about Job, and we know the story of Job, and we know that Job was, the Bible calls him a perfect and upright man. Of course, it didn't mean that he was sinless. It meant that he had perfected his faith. He was a good man. He loved the Lord. But he was a good man, and we know the story. The devil went up there before God and said, "Well, what about this man named Job? I know if you just give me a chance at him, he'll slip up, he'll mess up, and just give me a shot." And we know that we start to gather. Well, God obviously had a hedge of protection around Job that the devil couldn't pass. Thank God for that. Amen. I'm glad that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I'm so thankful for that. But we know that what happened, he went up and said, if you take your hedge of protection around or take it off of him, we'll see if he loves you. We'll see if he does all this and still serves you and do all this. And of course, we know the story. So we realize that we cannot be tempted of God. And the funny thing is, and in verse number 2 there in chapter 1, if you look at it real quick, how should we feel about being tempted? Well, the Bible says, "My brethren," talking to the church, "count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Joy? Wait, I'm supposed to have joy about when I'm tempted? I'm supposed to feel good about that? So we find out here that the Bible says to have joy about that. And we know that, as I said before, when you serve the Lord and when you start and you serve God and you're doing what God, you're in God's will, let me tell you, that's when the devil wants to come up and try to mess things up. When you're out of God's will, the devil doesn't have to worry about you. You're already there. You're already messed up. And we know that the same thing with Job. He wanted, what can I do? Can I get to Job? Can I tempt Job? What can I do to quit him, to quit serving? 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "God will not allow us to be tempted with more than we can bear." We know that. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians. God's not going to tempt us with more than we can bear. And by the way, the verse says, and guess what? He'll make a way out. Amen? So we know that God, not only, he is not the one that tempts us. He can allow us to be tempted, as we find out with Job. He allows things to come into our life. But God will, no matter what, God will make it. He's not going to put anything more on us than we can't handle. He's not going to bring something he knows. That's almost an honor, isn't it? That's why the verse says, hey, count it joy when temptations come. Because that means God knows you can handle it. You got this. I'm not going to put anything more on you than you can bear. So we should take joy. Why do we take joy in that? Because God knows that we can handle that. God knows that we're strong enough to handle those kind of things. But tonight I want to look at, where does it come from? How does it happen? We know that temptation comes from the devil. In Ephesians, we know it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And guys, I know we wrestle against the devil in the spiritual battle, but you know, a lot of times we do use the, you know, the old saying, "The devil made me do it." You know, we sometimes we use that for a crutch a lot of times, don't we? You know, I had somebody that was in my life recently, not here, you know, not recently here, but recently, and man, they had a lying problem, and just loved to lie, I guess, I don't know. And so, you know, you talk to that person, they'd be like, well, yeah, that old devil, he's got me lying again. Like, no, not the devil, it's your flesh, my friend, you know. But people try to, oh, the devil made me do this, and the devil made me do that. So understand what I mean, but when the devil gets involved, he's trying to really do something. I'm not talking about, you know, devil tempting me to lie and tempt me. But when the devil's trying to really get you and try to get you to mess up, trying to tempt you away, we know that the devil gets involved in that. So number one, we know that number one, temptation comes from the devil. When we get to verse number 14, we find out the second step. It says, but every man, so not only does it come from the devil, second thing is, okay, but every man is tempted when? When he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So when we are drawn away, so when the temptation comes into our life, the second thing that'll happen is we start to get pulled away. We start to get drawn away into that lust, into that temptation. And we know that that temptation and what happens in that spiritual battle is all up here. And there's a battlefield going on, and there's that battle happening. And which way are we going to go? Are we going to serve God? Are we going to do right? Or are we going to give into that spiritual battle? We'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. And the third thing is in verse 15. And the last thing, so we got the devil. We know we're tempted of the devil. Number two, we know that we're drawn away. And then the third thing, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. So when we have that temptation that comes into our life, it's not a sin to be tempted. The temptation or the sin comes when we act, right? When we act on the temptation that we have. We're all going to be tempted. We know that Jesus was tempted, right? And he was tempted after 40 days and 40 nights. Of fasting. And the devil came up and what? He said, hey, look at all these rocks. If you're really God, you'll be able to turn those rocks into bread, into food, right? Could you imagine not eating for 40 days and 40 nights? I go 4 hours and my wife, you know, she starts to get nervous because, you know, I get hangry, amen? But 40 days and 40 nights, and he had the power to change that into bread, and into food. He could have turned into a good old ice cream cone for all he wanted. But he didn't, did he? So we have a great example. We know that we're not above temptation. We're not above anything that can come our way, and we have to understand that and realize it. And I think a perfect example, if you turn over with me to Genesis chapter 3, we'll go back to the garden. I think we got a great example of this three steps here that lead to sin, and I believe it'll be a help to you tonight. I know it's a help to me, and I'm encouraged about it, see what God will have. But Genesis chapter number 3, back in the Garden of Eden, of course, we all know the story. It could have been perfect, amen. It was perfect, and it could have continued to be perfect. But we all know what happened. They didn't have to work hard. They, you know, the food was, God would mist the earth. It, you know, everything would grow, and they didn't have to. There was no thorns. They didn't have to work by the sweat of their brow and their heart. I mean, everything was perfect, and we know it could have continued to be that way. But we know what happened, and I think a great way. Remember, number one, temptation comes from who? The devil. Look at verse number one. In chapter number 3. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Here we find out the temptation coming from the devil, but the one thing I noticed right away is that they were hanging around the tree in verse number 1. And you know, when you go to a Meijer, you go to a Walmart a lot of times, or a strip mall, they'll have a no loitering sign, won't they? And of course, we know why, because they don't want those, you know, teenagers mostly, usually, hanging out there with their skateboards and, you know, cussing and doing whatever. So they don't want, because why? Because you pull up to a store and all that's taking place out in front of the store, you're going to be less likely to go in. So they have a no loitering sign put up at a lot of places around. And the reason for that is we know that it was bad for business. Can I say when a Christian loiters around sin or hangs around sin, it's bad for business. It's bad for a Christian. And too often times we hang around the tree, kind of like Adam and Eve here. They're hanging around the tree, and they're just hanging out. And it's kind of like, it reminds me of Micah. He had a candy one time. And I said, Micah, don't. He was a chocolate. I don't remember what kind it was, but it was a chocolate. And I told him, you're not going to eat that chocolate till after dinner. So he said, okay, you know. And so sure enough, we had to go. I think we were leaving somewhere, and I'm walking out to the car. And as I'm walking out to get in the vehicle, I see Micah's mouth moving a little bit. I said, Micah, you know, his eyes get big as headlights, you know. And, did you eat that? Did you eat that candy or candy? Mm-mm. So open your mouth. Mm-mm. Pride up, Micah. You know, he was caught. You know, but I can imagine, thinking as a three-year-old, I can imagine as he had that little candy bar, little package, I think it was, or York or something, but he had that little thing, and I can just imagine as his little brain was going, I know Dad said not to eat it, but it's right here, and I got it in my pocket, and it wouldn't be that bad if I ate it, you know, and he you know what's happening? He's loitering around that thing's there. He's hanging around the tree, if you will. He's got that temptation that he's allowed to be there. I know it's a 3 years old, but you understand where I'm going with that. And I can imagine here as Adam and Eve, as we talk about loitering around the tree, I can imagine as Adam and Eve, they probably went for a walk together. I can't imagine why they wouldn't. But they would walk through the Garden of Eden, and they would go on their walk. And I can imagine as the tree of knowledge of good and evil was set over there. You know, I often wonder, why did they go by the tree? In all the Garden of Eden, they could have went anywhere. They didn't have to walk in that direction. But what they did, I can imagine as they went on their walk, they followed and they, oh, there's a tree. And every time they probably went for a walk, they got a little bit closer and a little bit closer. And, well, what is that tree of knowledge of good and evil? Let me, you know, we should get a little closer and take a peek and see, you know, what it has to offer. See, what happened and why they got in trouble is they were hanging around that tree when they shouldn't have been. So oftentimes in our Christian life, we let sin and sin, the problems that we have, we let them hang around, and we kind of hang around the sin, and we hang around it, and eventually, you know what happens? You give in. I think Pastor said it best. He said, if you hang out in a barbershop long enough, you're going to get a haircut. I thought that was good. And that's truth. You know, if you hang around, you loiter around sin long enough, you're going to fall victim to it. In fact, in Proverbs, it says, can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? In other words, can you play with fire and not get burned? So they could have went a different way. I can imagine that they should have just said, you know what? We're not going to take the route that leads by the tree. We're going to go this way every day. I don't even want to hang by it. But they didn't. They said, you know what? Let's get up a little bit closer. So number one, we know that temptation comes from the devil. And here that temptation came, and they start to respond to that temptation. If you look in verse number one, they say, yea, hath God, it said, the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So they were hanging around the tree. And then we get to verse number two and three, and we find out that they started to relax in their guard against temptation. Look at verse two and three. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. I mean, they had all this food, all this fruit all over, all the fruit that was grown in the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. We realize here that they start to respond with the temptation. The devil, temptation comes their way. They respond to the devil. And how they respond? With the word of God. That was what God had told them. Hey, you're not allowed to eat that. And they respond with God's word. And when we, as believers, you know one thing that will help you greatly in defeating temptation is having God's word in your heart. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against God, against thee. You know, and we have to, when we have the Word of God, when we're full of the Word of God, and we have that in our minds, and we have that, we can respond to temptation when it comes our way in a great and mighty way, because let me tell you something. The devil hates this book. The devil hates it. And when you respond with the Word of God, when you fight with the devil with the Word, that's like the biggest, the sword, amen? We fight with our fighting sword. And here so they respond with God's word. But what happens is that was a good thing. But you know what I can imagine as they start doing, they start to reason why it was okay to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. I can imagine as they're reasoning in their mind and it might be okay, and it really isn't that bad. Do you think really God really meant that? And you know, have you ever been to, you go to Meijer, or you go to, we'll say Meijer, and you go to Meijer, and you're, I remember this when we were when we had small kids. We had a stroller. I'm glad, amen, we are out of that stage. Praise the Lord. But we have a stroller, and you're pushing, you know, your child, and you go through the checkout, and you pay for your food, and you get to the line, you get all the way out in the car. It's hot outside. You load up the groceries in the car, and you look down, and you go to put the little one and lift them in and get them out of the stroller and put them into the vehicle. And there's a candy bar sitting there that you did not pay for. I'm sure, I think every parent's probably had that happen at least once. There's something there in the car. And you know, and what'll happen is, like, well, I know I should go back and pay for that candy bar because I didn't pay for that candy bar. And I know it's wrong for me to not go pay for that candy bar, but let me start reasoning for a minute. You know, it's a long way in. I already got the groceries loaded up. I got to get the kid back in the stroller. I got to walk back in. I got to wait in line again. And, you know, Meijer, they're billionaires, so what's a dollar? We do that, don't we? We start to reason within ourselves, why is it okay to sin? I think it's no different here. I think they started reasoning with them, well, it might not be that bad. You know, we need to watch for that, don't we? It's never good when our reasoning doesn't line up with the Word of God. There's a problem, amen? So we find out here that they start reasoning and they start letting their guard down. They probably said, we're never going to eat of that tree. We're never going to eat that tree. We're never going to eat that tree. But now they start reasoning. Now they start to let their guard down. Now they're kind of getting open for that attack. And let me tell you, church, let me tell you, Christian, when we let our guard down, that's when the devil will get you. You know, there's a saying that the devil will stop by your door 1,000 times to find it open once. And that's true. He'll come knocking this day. No, they got the door closed today. Oh, I'll come tomorrow. No, got it closed again today. 999 times. Oh, wait a minute. Door's open today. We got to keep our guard up, don't we, at all times? Because the devil doesn't quit. The devil is like, well, you know what? I tempted them today, and they refused my temptations today. They're good for a month or two. They're good for another couple years. No, the devil doesn't work that way, does he? He tries to get us. He tries to tempt us in any way he can. So number one, we find out the very first thing that'll happen is that temptation will come from the devil, as we learned in James. Second thing, we're drawn away into our own lust. Look at verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. By the way, that's, if you want to mark in your Bible, that's the first lie recorded in the Word of God is right there. Of course, we know that the devil said, you shall not surely die. And they start to listen to the temptation. For God doth know, in verse 5, that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And of course, a lot of that is true. That part was true, the knowing good and evil. It was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And if you ever thought about, this for a moment? They were in the Garden of Eden, right? It was perfect. There was no sin in the Garden of Eden, but the devil was there, right? So think about that for a minute. God said, I don't want you to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But of course, we know what once they ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they now had the knowledge of good and evil. They now knew, wait a minute, now they're naked, now they're sin, wait a minute. And that God opened up their eyes. But here the devil tells them, hey, don't worry about it. He tries to give them all kinds of great things. And let me tell you, church, the devil's a liar. And in John chapter number 8, the Bible says that the devil is the father of lies. And we know that. And we know the devil is going to come and lie. And he's going to try to give you a false promise. Me and Brother Pat, we're talking about that a little bit today. I'll tell you, one of the gentlemen we visited with today, it's a good call, Brother Pat, did a great job. And it was his turn to get up there. And the guy came to the door. And Brother Pat said, are you sure? Would you know? He said, the usual, I'm Catholic. And Brother Pat said, well, if you died today, do you know where you'd go? And he said, yeah, I'd go up, upstairs, I think he said. I'd go up there or something. And Brother Pat says, well, you know you got them when they say that, right? Well, then how do you know you're going to go up? How do you know you're going to go to heaven? He said, well, I'm a good person, and, you know, I try to do good for people, and, you know, they give the whole spiel. And Brother Pat did a great job, witnessed to him for probably four or five minutes. He stood at the door. I was waiting for that door to slam, but he stood there, and Brother Pat was able to give him the gospel and say, you know, Brother Pat said, well, you know, your good works, it would be a shame to waste all your good works. You know, I mean, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And it was his work that did it. And the man goes, well, I have a hard time believing that, you know, that it, you know, it's not my good works to get me there. But, you know, we had a great visit with him. We're praying for him. I wrote his address down. But what my point was is that the devil is a liar. He gives you false promises, which leads me to another lady that we met today. She was a Muslim lady, only been here for 3 months, spoke pretty good English, kind of broken a little bit, but pretty good English. And we were talking to her, I said, well, what do you believe? Because she said, oh, yeah, I'd like to come to your church. She's like, am I allowed to go to your church? Yeah, you can come to church. So we were like, my main thing was like, well, so what do you believe about Jesus? Because I already know what the answer would be. I already know what the Muslims believe. But, she said, well, we believe in him, and he was a great, great prophet, and he did do all those things. He did, heal a bunch of people and do great things. And she even said, we believe he died. We believe he rose again. We believe he's coming back. Had all the right stuff. But there's one problem. They don't believe that Jesus is God. See, and what the devil will do is the devil will give false promises. What he does, he throws a lot of truth into something, or a little bit of truth, so you believe the lie. That's what the devil is good at. That's where you get false religions, like being a Muslim and all the things that they promise. You go blow yourself up. If you go, blow up and do this and do that and kill a bunch of people, all the things you're promised up in heaven. You know why? Because they've included a little bit of truth. Yeah, we believe in Jesus. Yeah, he did all that healing they talk about. He did all them things. But we know it's a lie from the devil. Here we think of here they start to listen to the tempter. In verse 4 and 5, he's saying, hey, don't worry about it. You're not going to die. God knows you're going to be like gods. Your eyes will be opened. And he tries to include some truth in whatever he tells them. And then, of course, we find out that they lessen their faith in God's word. If you look over in chapter 2 real quick, in verse 16 and 17, you find God's commandment there. And it says, and the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die. They knew that. I mean, God told them that. That was God's word. And we think back and go, how could they be that stupid that they would eat of the tree? God gave them the garden. Everything was perfect. They had all they needed. They had everything they could ever ask for. And God said, whatever you do, one thing, God's word said, don't eat of that tree right there. But we know they did. We think, how could they do that? But a lot of times what happens when we start to be drawn away from in our own lust and in temptation, we start to lessen our faith in God's word, don't we? And I can imagine them as they sat there and they, at first, no, this is what God said I should do, or this is what God said I shouldn't do. Well, maybe God really didn't mean all the time. Maybe God said, we can just have it once in a while. And they start to lessen their faith in God's word, and they start to listen to what the lies of the devil, and a lot of times when we start to let down our standards, we do the same thing. We start to let the suggestions of the tempter get into our head and say, well, I don't know if the Bible really means I shouldn't do that. I don't know if the Bible's really, if God's word is really trying to lead me this way. And we allow that to change our thinking and our thought process. So not only did they start to lessen their faith in God's word, they looked at the forbidden fruit. Look in verse number 6. It says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, she went up there and she started looking at it, start touching it. I can imagine, grab the fruit and start looking at it and touching it and say, wow, it doesn't look bad. Boy, it looks appealing. Boy, it does look good, doesn't it? Kind of like sin, doesn't it? The devil tries to paint that pretty picture of sin. And man, it sure looks good. And man, you can kind of touch it, nothing really bad happens. Well, you can kind of look at it and get a little closer every time you walk by it, start hanging around it a little bit, and it isn't that bad. Doesn't the devil try to fool us in that? He tries to do that to us. And he tries to say, can I tell you tonight, church, that we need to be careful in guarding our eyes and guarding our feet and guarding our hands and guarding our heart and guarding what we look at and what we hear and what we listen to. Why? Because the devil's going to try to use whatever avenue he can to either tempt us with our eyes. Wow, that tree looks good. Wow, that sounds good. Boy, I'm so thankful I got feet to take me over here into this place and to that place, even though I know I shouldn't go. We got to be careful with that. Here they're being tempted. They're getting close enough. They're looking at it. They saw, it looks good and it looks okay. So number one, we find out that the temptation comes from the devil. Number two, we find out when the temptation comes, we start to get drawn away in our own lust. But when does sin happen? We talked about it earlier. When we act on the sin. And look at verse number 6. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her, and he did eat. I do want to point out, I think it's interesting, a lot of times they portray in this story, you've probably heard it, not heard it here, but you've probably heard it before, where you've heard that Adam and Eve, you know, that Eve was the weaker vessel, she was the woman, so the serpent, you know, came and he just tempted Eve, so they kind of got the man away and the man was off, and he knew, you know, the woman's the weaker vessel, and so let's just try to tempt Eve, and then that way, you know, we'll get her to fall, and then the man will fall suit after, a little bit after. We've all heard that before. But if you look at what the Bible says, very interesting, look what it says. It says in verse 6, she took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also to her husband, what does that say? With her. She took the fruit, ate it, and gave it to her husband that was with her. See, Adam was standing right there. I thought that was pretty, that's very interesting there, that Adam was standing right there. But anyway, they acted on the sin. The Bible says that they did eat. And we know that all this could have been avoided. How? If they would just kept their faith in God's word, resisted the temptation devil, stopped hanging around the tree, stopped looking at it, stopped letting the devil try to lie to them and tell them it's okay and it looks good and everything's okay with it. You know, when we send the James 4:17, don't turn back there, it says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, what? To him it is sin. When we know to do good and we choose to do wrong, to him it is sin. They knew it was wrong. They knew God's word said it. They knew that they shouldn't do it. But we know they did it anyway. They acted on that temptation. We need to say more no to the devil, don't we? Too often times in our lives, we give in to temptations that come our way, and we wouldn't do it, and we allow ourselves, not only when the temptation comes, we allow ourselves to start to be drawn away, and then we act on it. Say, what's the whole point of this? Why does it matter? Why does it matter if we say no? Why does it matter if we say no to the devil and resist temptation? Turn back over to James chapter number 1, right where we started, and we'll finish up and I'll be done. James chapter number 1. Why does it matter whether we resist temptation? What I mean, you know, we can just get forgiveness and we can sin and we can ask forgiveness. Praise God for forgiveness. I'm so thankful we have a God that we can go repent of our sin and ask forgiveness, and we have a just God, and He'll forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm thankful that we have a God that's a forgiveful God, amen? We as human beings, a lot of times, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. I'm so thankful when we sin and we mess up, and we go, oh man, I really blew that. Boy, I let that temptation get me there. You know what? I'm going to get on my knees and say, Lord God, forgive me of my sin. I know I messed up, and I know I blew it, and God, forgive me, and I want to repent of that sin, which means I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm going to turn. I'm going this way, but I'm going to turn and go that way, and Lord God, forgive me of my sin. I'm thankful that God will take that sin, and He'll cast it as far as the east from the west and bury it in the deepest sea and put up a no fishing sign, amen, because He'll never bring it up again. We serve a God like that. But why does it matter? While we're here on this earth, we're born again, we're believers, we believe in the death, burial, the resurrection, we repented of our sin, we're saved. Why does it matter whether we serve God? Why does it matter whether we resist temptation? The answer is in James chapter number 1, verse number 12. James chapter 1, verse number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Why? Why does it matter whether I endure temptation? For when he has tried, that's talking about the judgment seat of Christ, we all stand before God one day, before Jesus. For when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. The Bible says one day, why does it matter whether we endure temptation? Because one day when we stand before God, when we stand before the Lord, Jesus Christ, and we get judged for what we did, good and bad on this earth, that if we endured temptation, if it mattered to us not to give in to the flesh, not to give in to temptation, the Bible says that God hath the crown of life waiting for us. And you know what it says? The best part about that verse, look at verse 12. Here's my favorite part. He shall receive the crown of life, which, what? The Lord hath promised. I'm glad there's a promise there, amen. A lot of people can't keep promises. Well, I'll be there and I'll do this and I'll do that, and they break promises. But my God doesn't break any promises. He's good. If He said it, He means it. He's going to keep His word. Why does it matter whether we say no to temptation? Why? Because the Lord promised Not that we're so great, not because we deserve it. It's all because, why do we resist temptation? Because he deserves it, doesn't he? For everything he did for us. Here he says that, listen, if you resist temptation, you're going to receive the crown of glory, and the Lord has promised you. What eternal rewards are we setting up? So oftentimes people get with temporal things, and sin, the Bible says, has its pleasures for a season. And yeah, sure, sin can be fun. Sin can be fun for just a little bit of time, but just for a short little bit of time, isn't it? It always ends in heartache, problems, family problems. It's always fun for a little bit. But when God, when we resist temptation, you imagine getting a crown that'll never rust? Crown that'll never corrupt? Not because we deserve it, because we're going to say, Jesus, you deserve it. Because you were so faithful and so great to us. I'm thankful that we have a God that has promised, listen, if we resist temptation, there's a crown of righteousness laid up for us in heaven. Five things that we can do to receive the crown of life, as I mentioned. Number one, stop hanging around the tree. Most people get in trouble, as I said, they start hanging around that tree, and they start hanging around the barbershop, and they get their hair cut eventually. Mikey got in trouble that day because he just didn't put that candy bar out of sight, didn't he? He had to keep that in his pocket, in his hand, and he kept feeling that, ooh, that does sound good, and he finally ate it. Quit hanging around the tree. Keep our guard up against temptation. Don't let your guard down. As I said, the devil will pass by your door 1,000 times to find it open once. So number one, we need to quit hanging around sin, quit hanging around the tree. Number two, keep our guard up against temptation. Number three, stop listening to the temptation, to the tempter. Stop listening to the lies of the tempter. Number four, keep our faith in God's word. Amen? Don't ever let our faith in God's word falter. Don't ever let our faith fall at all. As I like to tell my kids, I'll tell them to do something. And I'm sure a lot of parents use it, but I tell my kids, I want you to do this. And, but why? Or, do I have to, kind of thing? And what do you say? Listen, that was a command and not an option. I'm not asking you. It's not an optional, go take the garbage out. I'm saying, go take the garbage out. Amen? God's word is no different. It's not an option. It's not a buffet. A lot of times people treat the Bible like a buffet. They open it up and say, well, I don't like that, and I don't like that. I do like that, and I do like that. And of course, you're not a Baptist unless you like buffets, amen? And we already know that. But this kind of Bible buffet is no good. You know why? Because, let me tell you, it's all good, amen? So number one, we need to quit hanging around the tree. Number two, keep our guard up. Number three, stop listening to the tempter. Number four, keep our faith in God's word. And number five, stop, last and final, of course, is stop acting on the temptation. And if we do that during our life, if we do that out here on earth and resist temptation, there will be a crown of life waiting for us at the judgment seat of Christ. In conclusion tonight, we think about sin. We think about how often we do sin. We got this flesh and we have to fight against it and do whatever we can to fight against it. Say, how do you win that battle? How can I get victory in my life over sin and I'll be done? There was a man that was, he liked to fight dogs. And it wasn't Michael Vick, amen. But he loved to fight dogs. And this man, of course, would bet on the dogs and they would gamble and all this stuff. But the man always won and always picked the right dog that they were fighting. When they were fighting, he always picked the right one. Well, the gentleman came up and said, sir, I don't know how, if you're just the luckiest man alive, or how do you always know which dog is going to win in the fight? How do you know that? And the man says, you know what, sir, it's very easy. What I do with my dogs is about 3 or 4 days before the fight, the dog that I want, that's going to lose, I don't feed him. I starve him. Don't give him any food. And the other dog, I feed him good. I give him steak, and I fill him up with whatever he needs and protein and some great stuff, boy. So when the time of the fight comes, when the battle comes, I already know who's going to win. There's no way that dog can win that fight after not being fed for 3 or 4 days or 5 days. He said, that's how I know why he wins. You know why sometimes we lose the battle? We haven't been fed in a while. We haven't filled the word up. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Why do we lose the battle? We're starving ourselves. When we forget to read the word, when we miss, I don't like missing church, Even, you're sick or whatever, I've been sick before and you miss church and boy, you feel like your whole week is messed up, you just don't feel right. I love coming to church. Amen, amen, come on. Amen. I love coming to church. Why? Because I get fed. I get the Bible. I get to be around like-minded people, and we encourage each other, and we say, hey, how can I help you with that? But what we do is a lot of times we get so busy in life that we start to starve ourselves. So you know what happens. The pianist can come up and have a hymn of invitation. We start to starve ourselves, and then when temptation comes along, we say, man, I just can't seem to get victory over this. I can't seem to win. Why? What have you been feeding? Have you been feeding the battle that's going on, the spiritual battle we talked a little bit about that's going on up here? What side are we feeding? We're feeding the flesh and feeding the flesh with junk. And there's nothing wrong with TV. We watch TV. But you're watching garbage on TV and movies that are garbage and listening and filling our minds with garbage kind of music and filling our minds with all this stuff. And then when the battle comes up and the temptation comes, and then we go, man, I don't know why I'm so tempted. I don't know why I can't get victory over that. What dog are you feeding? Whichever dog you feed more is going to win that battle. And when we feed the spiritual, when we feed and we can get victory over the flesh. Maybe tonight you're having problems. And you say, man, I just can't seem to get victory in my life over temptation. I just can't seem to do it. Maybe you want to come to the altar and say, Lord, help me get victory. Help me to feed my spiritual side. Help me to say no. Why? Because it's important. It's important that I don't give in to temptation. Maybe there's somebody in your life that's dealing with addictions, dealing with problems, dealing with things that they've been battling, and it's like, Lord, I want them to quit doing that, and I want them to get help, but they won't get help. Maybe you want to come and pray for them tonight and say, Lord, will you help them? I know they're battling some temptations. I know they're dealing with some things, and Lord, the devil's just kind of got them right where he wants them. Lord, we go before Almighty God. Think about that for a minute. Isn't that something? When we pray, we get to go before the throne of grace up in heaven. And a lot of times when we have people in our lives that are battling things, and we start to say, well, I don't know, prayer is not going to do too much. You go before an almighty God, the God that created the world, the God that formed the mountains with his hands. You get to go before him and say, Lord God, help them with this problem. Help me with this temptation. Prayer always works, amen. Sometimes it might not be the answer we want, you know, but maybe you want to come pray for somebody in your, maybe a family member, maybe a mom, a dad, a brother, somebody in your work, whatever it might be, and you might want to pray for them tonight and help in that battle against temptation. Brother Randy, what do we have tonight, sir?
Number 306.
Let's go ahead and stand.